Help?
Mr. President?
Yes.
This is General Eisenhower.
I'm so glad to hear you. How are you feeling?
Well, I've been pretty good, but I wanted to tell you about a dilemma I'm in.
All right.
Mamie and I had this nice invitation for the 14th when Prime Minister Plato.
Yes.
Well, that happens to be her birthday.
Oh.
And I had to finally tell her that I had planned this little surprise party for her with some Nevins and the other guests around here. So I'm in a little hell of a puss.
Well, you just go on, you do whatever you think you ought to do and give her that birthday because she comes first ahead of Sato, doesn't
she? Well, as a matter of fact, it isn't so much. I had to tell her about it because she was writing to Mrs. Johnson this morning. But I had to tell her then about her party. And I wouldn't mind. I could break up the party except she wouldn't mind. She would be all right. But the guests, I don't...
Yes.
I made quite a fuss of them.
No, I wouldn't do that. Now, what we want, though, to do, General, here's our problem. We don't want to tax you 1 ounce.
No.
At the same time, anything that happens here,
yep.
we want you and Ms. Eisenhower to be included if it would be enjoyable. Now, you can't call up and say, I'd like to do this or do that. And we never know. But we thought with the Japanese that we would urge it. But,
well, as a matter of fact, you know, they've been very kind. They've invited me back here several times, they say, with the Emperor's approval and to come over. But I never felt like doing it because... I'd wanted Mrs. Eisenhower to go, and she won't fly, so it means a long ocean ride, boy.
Well, I wanted you to come, and I wanted you to see this new portrait. I'm just so proud of it. It hangs right down the steps when we come down from upstairs.
Oh,
and it's right behind all the pictures that we take when we're with the head of state, when we stop at the end of the stairs. And the photographers look at the people standing there right above it is your picture, and I like it much better than I do the other one.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do too, except it's such so bland. I like a face that's got a little bit more lines in it.
Oh, no, I thought this is good. This is the fellow that I know. I just stood there last night, had my picture made with it last night. It's a wonderful picture.
That's fine.
And I wrote over Harry Darby and thanked him for sending it in here. And looks like you're going to run for office here in 68. We got so many of your pictures around.
Well, I'll tell you. You know one thing, Mr. President. I don't believe it's against the Constitution to me for running for vice president.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think you're the best qualified man in this country for anything. I told a group the other day that you're the only fellow that I knew that knew as much as my Joint Chiefs of Staff and knew more than I did.
How have you been, Mr. President?
I'm doing fine under the circumstances. We're getting this government off reasonably good. I don't want them to bother you, but I sure do want them to keep you informed. And I told McNamara to go see you because I thought it would be good for McNamara. I think that he and General Goodpaster is just wonderful, but I thought maybe a little touch of you giving your views and philosophizing with this fellow would be a little helpful. We got a project we call Buttercup shows that the South Vietnamese are kind of playing a little bit with the NLF and talking to them about exchanging prisoners, and we got some exchanged yesterday for the first time, and then they're talking about how they might talk, and this fella Chu, most of the people think, I'm not very good at evaluating, but most of the folks think Westmoreland and Bunker and them. And incidentally, Mr. President, I think we got the best team we could have in those people out there.
Right.
So I just have confidence in them, and I try to support them. But they think that Chu's going to be better than Key. He's a little more reserved and a little more judicious and a little tougher and maybe not quite so gay and showmanship.
You know? That's right.
And so we're working on that a good deal. I'm having a meeting, I just called it now, for 11:30 to talk to Rusk and McNamara and them again about releasing some more prisoners. They want some more exchanges, so that is rather encouraging.
That is.
General Bradley just came back. He says that they have from Vietnam, and he says they got 12 and 13 year old kids. And the report from Bunker this week shows that one province out of Saigon in the Third Corps area that made up of about 500,000 people, and the Viet Cong have just picked up and evacuated. They can't live. They run out of food, and the battalion's splitting up. So all of these little things, and we're afraid to say it because they hit our credibility, and if it doesn't come true, why this happens. If you want to know the truth, what we've been doing, I've been suffering a terrific onslaught by Bobby Kennedy. I wouldn't tell this to any other Republican, but Bobby has organized, and he, Bill Paley's son-in-law in New York with CBS, called a meeting, and Bobby's lawyer, Van der Heuvel, who traveled over to Europe with him when he got this peace feeler and all that stuff, they got a lot of money in, and they got Martin Luther King, and they raised the money, and they turned it over to him, and they sent him to all these cities. And he went around, and he gets out of them before the trouble begins, but he went around all over the cities, and that's caused me a lot of problems in the cities this year. Then they've got the ADA and the Harvard group going around and saying, well, we got to dump Johnson. So they've got our own people plucking that we ought to get out of the war, and that they're not dependable, and that the generals are taking over, and it's been quite a problem for me in my own group. Then I started getting hit by the Cases and the Mortons and so forth, and it kind of looked like everybody was turning in. When you and y'all formed your committee and made a little statement that arrested, then you came out and said, well, now, I just don't, I'm not, I got more information than anybody in this country. You didn't say that, but everybody knew, and they looked at you. You'd been every military job we had and been president, but I don't know enough to criticize the commander-in-chief and the generals in the field and Bunker and men like that. I just want to, I want to know more about what I'm talking about. That kind of settled it a little bit, and but we just had hell, and these college students, I've had Hoover in after them, and Ho Chi Minh sent a bunch of them over here wires in April, and he got this fella Dellinger, and he's properly named too, and this Ms. Wilson, and Stokely Carmichael, and he asked him to come over there, and they got over there last spring, and they sat down and planned these demonstrations in Rome and in Bonn and in London and the United States and so forth all on the same day. And they laid out their plans, and then they sent our American delegates and a number of the other delegates to Czechoslovakia and to Germany and to London and to Paris and to Rome, and they met with people there, and they started planning. Then they came to this country, and our folks came back home. And it was pretty much of a fizz until they got into colleges. And they got into colleges, and they got the Galbraiths and the liberal groups and the preachers. And the preachers have been in all these. 1812, they tried to, they told Madison that the British were right and he ought to surrender. And they told Lincoln that he ought to go over to the surrender to the Confederacy. And they gave Wilson hell. And World War II, a lot of the preachers and the teachers did the same thing. Well, anyway, they came, marched here, and we arrested 600 of them, and we gave 29 of them pretty tough times. We found most of them really were mentally diseased. Hoover's taken 256 that turned in supposedly their draft card, and about 50 of them are college professors who had been examined for the draft by the Army and turned back as kids. And then a good many of the young kids. So you're dealing with mental problems, kind of like the Oswald deal. And then they get a lot of innocent folks that come in. Now, how much of that we can expose, what we ought to do about it, I called the Attorney General last night. I think he's been a little easy himself. That's why I hit crime so hard yesterday. I think we talk too damn much about civil liberties and constitutional rights of the individual and not enough about the rights of the masses. So I talked to Dirksen the other night, and he's been just like you have. He loves his country, and he don't pay attention to the politics.
Well, I tell these people, look, I said, if I'd have been in the same position of responsibility, I might have done some other things differently. But that's a question of judgment. That's what we have. We were freely elected people, and we've got to stand behind them. I've been consulting with my some of my publishers whether I shouldn't put an article on it.
I wish you would. That would be the best thing you could do, if you could get to Life or Look or some of them to just take it, or if you would have another interview on television.
Yeah.
If you just answer the questions and just take it up, and Bunker's coming in here. If you could sit down with Bunker. You know Bunker?
Oh, very well.
Well, he was
ambassador when I was president in India.
Well, he was a Republican businessman in Vermont that made a good deal of money, somebody said, and decided he wanted to retire, and he retired, and then they started pulling him into the government for every tough assignment. And Dominican Republic, it was impossible, but he went down there, and all those commies, there were three groups of them, Chinese, Castro, and Soviet, and he whipped them all. And he says that he's bringing this thing through. I'd like you to see him when he comes back. He's going to be here in about 10 days.
Well, I'm going out to California in the at 1st December.
I'm jealous of you. I want to quit and come out there and play golf myself.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I'll be here through November, though.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, if you are and you can, I'd like to send him over there and spend 30 minutes with
him. I tell you, I am, I give my briefings that I've had. I am very much encouraged on the military side of this, and particularly what has pleased me is the increasing percentage of those people that have the courage to go and vote.
Yes.
And that shows that they're getting greater confidence.
General, we took us from 1776, 1789 to get a constitution in this country.
That's
and
right.
We had all that Anglo-Saxon heritage and background.
That's
and freedom.
Right.
Now, these people in 13 months have had 5 elections, and we've shoved them, and Bunker shoved them, maybe a little too fast, Westmoreland. But the fact is that they have a higher percentage of their total people voting than we have, and they've had 5 elections, and they've ratified a constitution, and they've elected a House and Senate, and the President and Vice President, and I think that's pretty encouraging.
I do, too. As a matter of fact, in this thing I've been writing on, that's what I'm putting great stress on that.
If you could have a television interview, or if you could have, if you could write an article for one of the magazines, Look Alive, just whatever this, whatever information we have, General Goodpaster, just bring it and lay it down for you, and have any people that you want to talk to, and when Bunker comes back, you might hang it on after you've just visited with him. You can just say you sent for Bunker and ask to see him, that you want the reports direct. And,
well, I tell you, one of the networks we're working on now, on a meeting on that very thing, an hour.
Well, I just think there's nobody in this country that has the respect of the government, are that the respect of the people any more than you do. Not another human being. And I think your government's in trouble, General. I think it's in, I don't want to say this, you wouldn't want to say it when you were head of it, but I think we're in more danger from these left-wing influences now than we've ever been in 37 years I've been here.
Well,
and they're working in my party from within. And Bobby thinks he's going to get the nomination in the convention.
Do you know the name of that son-in-law of Bill Paley's?
Yes, sir, named Burden, B-U-R-D-E-N.
B-U-R-D-E-N,
yes, sir, and I'll tell you how I know about it. I've got copies of Bobby's lawyers, this fellow Vanderhoof's letters on Martin Luther King, which I'll send you copies of, writing to people, asking them to come, and Charlie Englehart, who's head of Englehart Industries up in New Jersey, went to the meeting and agreed to give Martin Luther King some money for civil rights. He thought he was helping the Negro. And the damn fellow went out to Chicago next week and announced that he was trying to destroy Johnson. So Englehart got mad and called him up and asked him, told him he didn't want to give his money.
Hmm. Well, I tell you, I know those people up there in CBS pretty well, I'll get my nickel's worth, and you can bet on that.
He married Paley's daughter.
Yeah.
And it's this young jet set, this society set, and they don't like anybody, you know, from away from the East Coast.
But I tell you, Mr. President, I'm a damn good Republican, but if I tell you, if ever they want that little pipsqueak to the President of the United States, by golly, I'm really going to get on the things, and I'm really going to work.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, and if I didn't run, and I haven't at all concluded I would, but if I did, we'd just take it in a walk. And I think the Republicans could beat him if they didn't fight among themselves. And But this boy is awfully vicious, and when you
he is absolutely ruthless.
If you look at the people that he doesn't like, nearly